24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. 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 Everything.
Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town, yeah.
It's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Welcome to the Profanity Nation podcast, where professional players deserve professional fans. Joined here tonight by Money Mike, Stat Pat, myself, Simpster. We're still all on quarantine in our Zoom meeting room, so we're talking about some funny stuff. Okay, so tonight, guys, the NBA at least tried something. We had some entertainment on ESPN, at least entertainment to some, entertainment not to others. Mike liked it. Money, why don't you start? You're enthusiastic about it. Okay, so the NBA played horse online, of course, quarantined and social distance. What did you think? Explain it, Mike. You just go. It was terrible.
So look, I mean, you know why I liked it? Because it actually was really a train wreck. Like, it's literally, I think about the fact of you got Trae Young shooting the basketball for the shot, and then he's turning in to the laptop just as I'm doing now on Zoom, looking at y'all to see what the other person's going to do, you know. And then you have the cell phone, you know, you're depending on somebody's kid, you know, to hold it steady. They're doing instant replay on it. Like, it was like amazing, you know, that it was the best train wreck. And to me, that's what made it entertaining. They literally had the orange extension cord, just like if I'm prepared for a party, I get my orange extension cord out, and I'm going to plug everything over here. They set it up themselves, and they literally logged into a feed, probably through Zoom, which is what we're doing right now, on different basketball courts, different lengths. Some actually had a free throw line. Other one just was cement. One was, like, from the back of the basket. Other
some
one could go from the back of the basket.
Some were driveways.
Right there. So you know, it was entertainment, and I cannot wait to tune in on Thursday to see who can win HORSE. Now, personally, I'm saying Mike Conley because he got the gym.
Yeah,
everybody else is out. Sorry.
Yeah, if we're talking about battle of the gyms or battle of the court, that fool got the best court.
Right,
like his ankle flattened. I was like, okay. I said, that means, you know, that big contract he got with the Memphis Grizzlies. That I'm like, I see where that money went. Because you show, I mean, there was 20-foot ceilings. I mean, you can literally punt. I mean, in that room, man, it was so huge. But, you know, what I thought was funny because my wife was like, that's not fair. Like, look at the court. Look at Trae Young's court. Look at, you know, look at Chauncey Billups' court. I said, babe, you got to look at it. It's like, Here's the rookie contract. He's the second year man. He is still only making $4 million a year. The other dude has made about $150 million in his life. Chances are he put a little bit to that court. So I'm just saying, like, you saw it, and then you can't even see if Trae Young court was, I mean, from my angle, I mean, which is everyone's angle, it almost looked like the rim was bent. I thought the rim was kind of going down a little bit. So I'm like, this is all over the place, man. And I was like, okay. And then, I mean, horse used to be like trick shots, right? Like trick shots. These fools out there, okay, I'm going to shoot. Trae Young, I'm going to shoot free throw. You know how long you had. For real, do you know how long you had to create a shot? At least five shots. What you need to do is create five shots. Five shots to put five letters on the other person. No one did it. He's like, okay, shoot the left-handed free throw. And that's it. And that's okay. And I'm thinking, like, dude, I can do that. I can play horse with these cats. Like, I'm not that good. Like, no one's challenging me except, like, Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine was getting very close to doing, like dunk layups.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah. Zach LaVine, he was like, so you're gonna tap and then do a dunk layup.
No dunking at all. But, all right, so I have a question. I mean, what yes. in the heck was Paul Pierce even doing out there? What was he doing?
Okay. But see, this is what I love. It was raining. It literally really was raining out there.
Dude.
So he bundled up because he didn't want to catch the cold.
And going against Zach.
Right. Yeah. So he was just too old. Like, you already, it's one of those things, like, Paul looked like he was, you know, what is he, like 3 years removed from the game? But he looked like he's about 10 years removed.
Yo,
from the
game. He always had old man game. Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? So, like, that was when he was in his prime. You know, now he literally got old man game, and he's past his prime. It really does show. You know, out there the way you looking, but it was bad. First of all, I was kind of pissed off because I'm thinking he was doing a lot with that Celtic. He doing the most. Now, don't get me wrong, I get it.
No, I don't.
I get it.
I don't. You in L.A. though? But you in L.A.
But if you think about like the story of Paul Pierce and be like, okay, there's a reason why he didn't go to UCLA. Like, he should have went to UCLA. He went to Kansas. So he's never real. I mean, even though he's from LA, how long has he been connected to being like a Los Angeles basketball player? I don't even know him as a Los Angeles basketball player, to be honest with you. I mean, I heard about it. I know about it because I was around the same age. You know, we were all around the same age. But for the most part, he went to Kansas and then he went to the Celtics. At that point, he had the incident in the bar, you know, and then, you know, remember back in the day, he had that incident. I think he went to the club. And I think somebody tried to stab him or something like that. No, I think it was kind of like that. Yeah. Okay. So that happened to him. But ever since then, he's been pretty much Boston. And he can't wait to come back to L.A. to rub it in our face. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's crazy. You know, like, are you crazy? Like, what are you thinking?
He seems like he tries to walk the line. He's funny because, you know, he lives in L.A., obviously. We know this. His house was in L.A. It had to be. I think they announced it, but I didn't see that. But he still tries to be a Celtics fan. So he seems like he's willing to play the villain, but you can tell his heart isn't in the villain role. He really just wants to be loved. It's like, it's hard. He tries to straddle that line. It's funny.
Yeah, but we're not messing with the villain.
Yeah, you know, he pretty much, I mean, he could have, I think he probably would have been a lot, like, his legacy really went in the toilet once he did that, once he got on the wheelchair. Once he did that wheelchair thing, to me, it was pretty much, there was no coming back from that. Because I really did think he was hurt in the finals, and then he comes back. Now, of course, I've heard the rumors of what we say it was.
Which was?
Okay, well, you know, supposedly he had the bubble guts. And,
apparently, Jeff never heard the story.
No, I did. I've heard two stories. I've heard him tell two
stories. I heard about the bubble gut story.
Okay, he also said that he heard a pop in his knee. He did get scared, but that they didn't even let him try to put weight on it. They just said, no, we're taking you back. And like he got into the back and he's like, hey, wait a minute. Let me go ahead and you know, put some weight on it. And when he did, he figured out he was okay and was able to come back out. That's now the other one is, yeah, that he shit his pants. Sorry. But, you know, we'll bleep that out. But yeah, the other one was that he, you know, took care of his pants.
Yep. That's the one.
I'd rather believe the knee story that he heard a pop and it scared him, and he went from there.
And that's why I would say to me, like, you know, I'm mad at the fact that he faked injury or he pretend like it was an injury. And then the way he came back onto this court and skipping and everything back in the, it was just like, nah, bro, you don't get that sympathy. From that point on, it was like, all right, he dead to me. I have no LA. Oh, what did Marcellus Wallace say in Pulp Fiction, you lost all your L.A. privileges. He pretty much, at that point, to me, I thought he lost all his L.A. privileges. He can't claim it like he was before, but that's just me.
That's what I thought about PG, too, when he stood up the Lakers. That's exactly what I thought. I said, you just lost your L.A. privileges, bro. You stood up the Lakers. You talked about the Lakers, and all of a sudden, I'm staying in OKC.
Yeah, but you know what, though, at the end of the day, look, if you don't want to be a Laker, then, you know, we don't want you. That's why I always look at it, because, you know, it's a whole nother animal. So no use to you if you ain't sure, if you're not ready to put in that time and deal with the scrutiny that comes from being a Laker. We don't want you. So that's my mentality. Okay, we don't want to come. That's why I hate it. The billboard, you know. Asking Dwight to stay, I hated that because we never like went to beg people. I don't care who we are, who you are, and where we are as far as standings, being able to win a championship or being in last place. We should never beg people to win a play. So, you know, that's just my feeling.
And that's what Kobe said too, right?
Right. Yeah. So
I have a question for you guys. We've talked a lot about this season. We've talked a lot about, you know, the playoffs this year and so forth. We haven't talked a lot about next year. Who do you think this helps next year? Who does this help? Does this help the Clippers? I don't think so, because Paul George and Kawhi both on 2-year contracts, so they only have 1 year left. But maybe this does help them. Does this help the Lakers? I'll expand on why I think maybe it helps the Clippers. Because you get that the players may have that sensation they were cut short. They really didn't get a chance. They have unfinished business, blah, 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 that, you know, that stuff. So they have to give it another shot. They have to re-sign at least another two. Does that give them a bigger shot at re-signing their stars? Does this give us a bigger shot at re-signing Anthony Davis? Who does this help more for next season and beyond? What do you think, Pat?
Okay. So my answer would be a little bit different than probably what you're looking for. I think if it were a question between the Lakers or the Clippers, who it helps more, I think it definitely helps the Clippers more. First of all, they were doing the load management stuff, so they pretty much got a half a season off. So all that load management coming in there, they come in with that stuff next year, miss me with all that, because you pretty much were off. Everyone was off. Everyone had that load managed by this coronavirus. So we don't want to hear you saying, oh, I got to take off 12 or 20 games next season. Okay. But LeBron James' window is kind of like short, like to the point that he has to either win to this year or next year. It's pretty much a wrap after next year. But to me, who it benefits the most is the Golden State Warriors. That's the team that is going to come back with their hair on fire. That's the team that everyone that was taking their shots and talking all that stuff, first of all, you're going to have to still deal with Steph, still deal with Klay. Wiggins is better than Harrison Barnes. And I didn't say he was better than KD. I said Harrison Barnes. Because all they needed was something better than Harrison Barnes, and they probably would have beat the Cavaliers that year anyway. And then you have a top five pick if that's going to happen, the draft. I don't know how the draft is going to work. If you put somebody, a big man, an athletic guy that's around 7 feet tall, getting all the rebounds, you still got those guys shooting threes like they do shoot threes. I mean, how is Patrick Beverley going to get into Steph Curry? It's not the same. You know when I say styles make fight? It's not the same team that they can do. It's not the same tactic they can do against the Lakers. And they can do it against the Golden State Warriors. Another team is also the New Jersey, the Brooklyn Nets. KD is back, and I mean, KD is KD. If anybody knows anything, we know KD is that dude. And Kyrie is ready to go ahead and ball with him, and they might get some more free agents on contract, because he's playing in New York. At the end of the day, he's still playing in New York. So to me, if I had to pick a team that was going to benefit by most of all this, it would be the Golden State Warriors.
And the fact that you bring up the Warriors, that they're going to have a pretty high draft choice.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree 100% with Pat. Like, it's definitely it's Brooklyn and the Warriors. And I'm gonna tell y'all the scariest thing is if LaMelo fall in Golden State Warriors' lap, it's a wrap. Because, you know, if you look at LaMelo, out of all the Ball brothers, he's the best one. He plays defense, he gets rebounds, and the biggest flaw that Curry has is that he's not able to defend this man and have to hide him. But they won't have to hide him anymore. You have him at the two and Curry at the point, and then you got Clay and Wiggins and Draymond. That five, if LaMelo is anything about what I think he's gonna be, they're hard to beat. You know, and that is the scariest thing. I've been saying that if they fool around and get LaMelo, that would be a wrap for the rest of the league, I feel. I don't think nobody can beat him.
All right. You bring up LaMelo. Let's project his future. You see him definitely as the best Ball brother, I'm assuming, the way you talk about him.
Yes.
And the way a lot of people talk about him, I would say that is the consensus. How many All-Star appearances do you see for LaMelo versus Lonzo?
I definitely think LaMelo's going to get more. LaMelo is a little bit more. He has a little bit more charisma than Lonzo. And I think that's one of the key things, too. You know, Tim Duncan, we all know that he was Hall of Famer, and he made the All-Star team because he was Hall of Famer. But he wasn't on nobody's commercial, you know. And if it was a commercial, it was just a stone face, because that's all that he gave you. LaMelo is a little bit more flashier of all of them. You know, he's a little he got a little rebel in him. You know, it's controlled, but he wants to kind of do his own thing. So I think from a marketing standpoint, he is the best Ball boy to be marketed. And then, you know, and then if he is a good basketball player, he becomes a very good basketball player and All-Star because of that. And, you know, I think it's a common, you know, obviously, you know, MVP award is more of a popularity contest, you know, All-Star, you know, team is a popularity contest. So I definitely think LaMelo would, if you say who could be a starter and who could get voted in, it would be LaMelo before Lonzo every time. Lonzo may be reserved, but LaMelo, I think in a couple of years could be voted in as a starter.
What do you think, Scott?
I would say, agreeing that I think that Melo will have a better career than Lonzo, and Mike said a great point. His swag is different than, you know, Lonzo's. You know, with that charisma is what sells and get people. He will be more likely on the Instagram. Like, he will get fans based on just who he is. We've heard about him, and if he comes out and balls out, then he's really going to, you know, take it off. I would love – I know we were talking about him with the Golden State Warriors, and that would be, you know, like, it would be scary, but I would love for him – he would be great for the New York Knicks. Great for Knicks. Only reason, because he's going to go out there and try to get 50, 60 points a game. He's going to go out there and give the Knicks exactly what, you know what I'm saying, the Knicks want. They don't want him.
I love the fact how much you hate the Ball family that you're going to send him over to the Knicks.
Yeah, send him to the Knicks. No.
Send him to the Knicks.
I don't want him back. No, sorry. No, the headache's not. No, the headache's not worth it.
The way across the country.
Not worth it to me.
They need him over there.
Sure do. All the way over there.
You don't want a ball at all.
I mean, if
there's opportunity.
I'm good on the Ball family. I mean, look, yeah, of course, that's just me saying it right now. And if he's on the team, of course, I'll open, you know, just like I, you know, accept
LeBron
James. I'm a go ahead and I'm a root for him and everything, and I'm a, you know, go ahead and defend him against all arguments. However, I mean, it's cool, man. My team is great, man. You don't hear no drama. Everybody's chilling out, man. You know what I'm saying? They doing social distancing on Zoom right now. They still trying to hang out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you adding oil to the, man, you know what I'm saying? You adding, you know, water to the Greeks. You know what I'm saying? You really messing up by throwing LaVar Ball into all of that.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you. Just this year, How much have you heard? How much of a distraction has LaVar Ball been this year, this season?
Okay, well, I can tell you this. He has been so when he was with the time that his son has been traded to the Pelicans, his world has been topsy turvy. I mean, the Big Baller Brand ain't what he wanted it to be. So all that swag, he would come out there, I got the next great thing. No, you don't. You are a business failure at this point in time. You are a business failure. So your ego ain't that high. Now you got Lonzo, and he's been traded from the Dream franchise, and he barely got off the bench. Remember, there were some times where they Alvin Gentry benched Lonzo Ball this season. So really, it's nothing to really talk about. I mean, his son is barely his second son trying to barely get into the G League. Only thing he's waiting for is his younger son to get back. Then he'll open his mouth up again. And then I don't want him on my
team. So you see him like
I think the Ball rookies are toxic. I think you can get them back after their first 3 to 4 years and they'll be golden. Both. I think LaMelo and Lonzo are going to be golden after 4 years, but as a rookie, you don't want him. Because of what LaVar brings, because of the heat, because of everything, the flash, and because of the learning curve that they need in the NBA. They're both going to be great. I do think LaMelo is going to be better, but I think you don't want him as a rookie.
I mean, I would agree. I mean, I like his game. I just don't like the fact that his dad is going to be a part of the situation. Now, Mike, I know you can be like, you like that. That's that he's like,
no,
that's,
you know what, though?
You like that cat. And I'm like, I'm okay with it at first. But, you know, then it got old, bro. I ain't gonna lie. He got old to me, dude.
No, look. LaVar was, I like LaVar. I like what they were trying to do. You know, I loved his energy. I admit all that. I did not agree with everything that he was doing. I didn't agree with everything that he was saying. But I also think now that he's kind of realized that there is a show and then there's business. And I think he realized that and recognized that there's the business wise, it wasn't very marketable. It wasn't marketable anymore because he was a gimmick. He was a clown. You know, like if you listen to his last interview, I'm not sure if you, I think he was on there about a month and a half, 2 months ago. He was sitting on there and his interview, it was just as confident. He wasn't saying too wild of things, but he still had it in him. But it was actually a really good interview because he actually knows basketball. You get lost in it because he's just so wild and crazy. But he actually knows and understands the game to a certain level where he actually gives a good interview. And he gave that. And, you know, he didn't really bash Lakers too much. You know, which you know, this is what I'm saying. 2018 LaVar versus 2019-2020 LaVar, two different LaVars to me. You know, I don't think that you're going to have an issue like that again, because at the end of the day, I mean, he's definitely going to say, I want all three of my boys to play together, because, you know, that narrative, I don't think it's ever going to change. But I think he knows at the end of the day, if he wants his sons to be in the league, and it's been shown that the league will, they can blackball you. And so, out the league, no matter how good you are. You know, Sprewell, did Sprewell ever play another game? They offered him 25 million? He said no. Did he ever play after that?
He said, I got to feed my family. He said, I got to feed my family.
I got to feed my family.
They offered 25 million, so I got to feed my family, and he never played again. Not that I remember. So,
he also choked PJ Carlissimo.
So. Yeah, but that was that. But see, they offered him the $25 million after he choked Carlissimo.
Yeah, but when you add those two together, that he turned down the $25 million in that manner and choked a coach, you're like, all right, we get it. You're like, move on.
So you know, listen, the NBA is just like is a business, just like anybody else. They're capable. But they're like, you know what? You're not worth it. And I think he probably saw a little bit of that. Like, we're about to send you over to the Pelicans. It's not worth it. And he knows that LaMelo come in there, the first question is, are we going to deal with his dad? So I think you know, he has a good manager, LaMelo. You know, Jermaine Jackson. Not Jermaine. Why do I always say Jermaine Jackson?
What's his new song coming out, my friend?
Yeah, I can't think of his name, but anyway.
No wonder, man, those mixtapes coming out heavy, dude.
And if he wants a good manager,
but
wants a good agent,
I think it'll be all right, though. Well, yeah, because we were seeing that. Did you see the article? They said they were talking about, I think McCullough was talking about, he was the vice president of the union. He said a lot of the players, you know, are kind of were living check to check because they, you know, were taking care of their families and things like, you know, that. And, you know, this just goes to show, it doesn't matter what economic level you're on. The philosophies are still the same. You got to give, you know, your house can be no more than 35% of your income, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same, you know, whatever, the same principles that apply for us, apply for them.
Actually, it's harder because for us, you know, for the general person, when you're thinking about, okay, I'm 25 or 20 and I've now got a career job, whatever it might be, you're thinking you have it for 30, 40 years. You know, you're going to stay a career. They may have it for anywhere from 5 to 15 years average, max. And then the money drops significantly. So they have to adjust for a 50, 60, 70-year lifespan on a 15-year large income. And that's where they go wrong. That's where they think that money is going to continue for 50 to 60 years. And it's just not. And then when it falls off, they didn't prepare in that manner. Most of the case.
So money management is more important to them than it even is to us, you know. But I hope they all could get a steak dinner. I'm not worried too much. They all have friends. You know, when you hang around with other millionaires, you know, I don't know if you guys saw the 30 for 30 with Michael Vick, you know, and Michael Vick had just gotten out of jail. He said he had came home. They had negative $1,000 into the bank. And he was just going to figure something out. And T.I. called him and was, hey, man, I just checking on you, man. You good? And Vic was like, yeah, I'm good. He said, you need anything? And he said, you know what, man? If I could just get 50, I'll be good. And then T.I. gave him 75. And I'm talking about 1,000. Mm-hmm. You know, my point is, I ain't got no friends like that.
Hey, we're your friend. We're not any less of a friend just because we can't wire you 75K overnight. It doesn't mean we don't love you any less.
Yeah, 75K. You know, and probably was like, hey, don't worry about it. You know what I mean? They're probably like, hey, don't worry about giving it back. You know, so I don't have friends like that. So, you know, I have a saying, it's called rich people problems. And that, you know, it's rich people problems at the end of the day. You know, they're not going to be hungry, you know, and sorry if that sounds insensitive, everybody. Well, that's just how I feel.
That is hilarious. Perfect.
No, they're not going to go hungry, man. They're going to eat well still. Don't let those bankruptcies fool you, man. They still got money somewhere. It's not all gone.
They protect.
Hey, so Pat, I wanted to ask you about, I'm sorry, Jeff, do you have something?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Hey, so Pat, I gotta ask you, man. Did you hear about Gurley? You know, Gurley moved over to Atlanta. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I heard about the jersey situation. Yeah. But I think did you read anything about it lately? Because I think it's
really interesting because when I first heard about it, Deion Sanders said that I don't want you wearing 21, and you know, and he told him not to. And all that did was light a fire under Gurley to say, he's hating on me, I'm going to wear it. And now the narrative is out, oh, I was just messing with him. But I don't think Deion, you know, with me knowing prime time, Deion was not messing around. Like, I think he really, I think he totally did not want him to wear that number, you know. And I understand that it's not retired, but, you know, it's an unwritten rule. Like, when Dez went over to the Cowboys, you know, in order to wear 88, he had to get Michael Irvin's blessing. You know, that's just – those are the type of things that kind of happen, that have to happen. So what do you think about Gurley and –
Well, okay, so here's my opinion on it. So, okay, going back to the Dez Bryant Michael Irvin situation. Now, did Michael Irvin's jersey get retired?
No, it wasn't retired.
So it wasn't retired. This is how I feel about it. That jersey is fair game. Don't be mad at a person selecting the jersey. Honestly, I don't even know why 88 from, you know, for the Dallas Cowboys and 21 from the Atlanta Falcons are even available. I don't even know why they're even available. Aren't they both in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
If they're both in the Hall of Fame,
yeah.
Why are their numbers still available for you to pick to wear? Sorry, that just doesn't make any sense. So I'm kind of perturbed if I'm Deion Sanders because of the fact that, look, my number should have been. Now, I know, like you said, it's an unwritten rule. And, you know, and what Stephen makes it even worse, you know Todd Gurley is from Georgia. So you know he's basically the and he's, you know, he's know about the legend of, you know, of Deion Sanders. Everyone knows the legend of Deion Sanders. It should have been out of respect that he shouldn't even thought about asking for that number. It's like going to the Celtics and saying, I want 33. I know he's retired, but you ain't going to ask for 33. You're not going to ask for pretty much any of those numbers. All the numbers are pretty much
retired.
Whatever they give you.
I mean, they got like, dude, they got double. Don't they got numbers like double retired? It's like O and O. O and double O. Like, damn, I mean.
They got a lot of retirement.
You got all the numbers. Like, one 11, you know what I'm saying? Like, 222, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, so it's so, for me, I get it by Deion Sanders. Now, you're right. Knowing Deion Sanders, there was a little bit of, you know, tongue in cheek. Like, yeah, I'm just saying it, but you shouldn't be wearing my jersey. Like, you shouldn't be wearing my jersey. You know, I mean, and to be honest with you, let's be real. Todd Gurley is cool. Todd Gurley is cool, but is Todd Gurley as good at his position as Deion Sanders was at his position?
No.
See, Deion Sanders was the man, period, point blank. There ain't nobody above him. He was shut down cutter. Huh?
Consistently, year after year.
I'd
ask you this. Is this more an indictment on the player that asked for the number or the team that hasn't retired the number?
I'm saying the team that haven't retired. Don't even put Deion Sanders in that position.
But let me ask you this though. I mean, we know how Deion was a Hall of Famer, but Deion played for a lot of teams. Like, what team is he going to really go into the Hall of Fame for? Because he won rings with the Cowboys and the 49ers. He didn't win a ring with Atlanta.
Right.
He probably spent, he got drafted by Atlanta, but he didn't win a ring with them.
No, he didn't.
And so, you know, he went into Hall of Fame because of his body of work, not necessarily because of the team they stayed to. Because, I mean,
when he was in Atlanta, let's
also back it up and think about it though. If we're talking about the franchise of the Atlanta Falcons, now we got to go ahead and you give me right off the quick top of your head, you give me the top five all-time Atlanta Falcon players. If you can go ahead and if you saying Deion Sanders ain't even top one, top two, top three in that conversation, and his number is not retired, that's the problem I'm talking about. I understand he did something with the 49ers. I understand he did that with Dallas. But he's still probably one of the top three players to ever come out of that franchise. And they went to the Super Bowl a couple of times. So I'm just saying, like, all right, so who's better than him that he can't be able to say, well, Andre Rison? You know what I'm saying? Like, how many players, like, you know, like.
Is it Andre Rison?
You know, who are these players that we're talking about that were better than Deion Sanders?
Does any other team retired his jersey?
Huh?
Does any other team retired his jersey?
I don't know about that. That's a good homework assignment. I mean,
you know what though? Because I don't think nobody's retired his jersey because he didn't really. He was effective every way he went, but he never like. This dude went to the four. This dude played for the Cowboys, won a Super Bowl, and then the next year went to the 49ers and won a Super Bowl. So he went. He went to back to back a Super Bowl champion, but the teams didn't go back to back. You know,
so
he had an interesting, you know, career. He didn't have any loyalty to teams per se, you know, and nor did he, you know, have a long-term contract. But he was for Florida, you know, and he did get drafted from Atlanta. But I don't know. I mean, I guess the question is, are you retiring his number anywhere because he moved around so much?
But at the same time, it's like, wouldn't that be a travesty that we really going to be like, oh, well, who going to be the first one to retire Deion Sanders' number? Like, who going to be the first franchise to do that? Like, to me, he's the top five, top 10 shutdown corners pretty much in the history of the game. So, yeah, he didn't tackle. But, I mean, at the same time, he's Revis Island before Revis Island. Yeah, you know, so
loaded from team to team. There's no loyalty. There's nowhere that he stuck around long enough to gain that type of loyalty and drafting him. How long was he in Atlanta?
He was in 4 years, 1989 to 1993.
What about Dallas?
So he played Dallas.
He did 4 years in Dallas.
Okay. So he played
Dallas. He's going in as a Cowboy. Come on, stop playing. He's going in as a Cowboy. Stop playing.
Because he got a ring. He got a ring in Dallas.
Yeah, stop playing. Yeah. He's going in. There's no prestige. Is going in and the Falcon. There's none to it. None. So, yeah. And like you said, he won one with the other prestigious franchise with the 49ers. But like you said, it was one year.
And to add insult to injury, he literally played for the Falcons from 1989 to 1993, went to 49ers, got a ring. Left the 49ers, went to the Cowboys, 95, and got a ring, and then played until 1999.
Yep.
And then he went to the Redskins, and then he took off for 4 years and said, you know what, I just want to come back as a Raven just to, you know, come back. And he did that for 1 year. So
the last year was with the Falcons?
No, with the Ravens in 04, 05. Remember he came back, you know?
Oh, yeah, I don't even remember that one.
Yeah. When he left Atlanta, what was the vibe? Was it on good terms or was it on bad terms or was it on?
Yeah, he's just in his contract. I mean, I don't remember it being bad at all. I mean, he's a two-time Super Bowl champion, eight-time Pro Bowler, nine-time first-team All-Pro cornerback. You know, first-team All-Pro
Pro Bowl in when he was in with Atlanta.
He made the Pro Bowl eight times: 91 through 94, 96 through 99. Yeah.
I made no mistake. He was still, you know, the bomb when he was with Atlanta. Like he didn't like, and we were talking about like maybe hard feelings. Remember, I don't know if y'all remember or do you guys forget that game when he played the Falcons. Though they played the Falcons the next year,
right?
The regular season game. And these fools, you can look it up. I could have swore they were out there. Andre Rison and Deion Sanders basically was slap boxing for a good, like, I don't know, I think about it, a good, like, 5 seconds. They were both going windmill, like, you know, just basically slapping each other. And I'm thinking, like, well, that dude, Andre Rison, is kind of upset that he left. I mean, it shouldn't got to that point after you see me. Like, it was, like, on site. You know, so it was – and maybe it was some hard feelings for some of the players on the team, but he outgrew that team, dude. The Atlanta Falcons at the time in the 80s and 90s was like, come on, dude. They were not that good. He went to the 49ers. Ooh, he went to the 49ers. And that was 49ers with Jerry Rice and Steve Young. Like, yeah, dude. Yeah, I mean, sorry.
He went to the 49ers? You know, heard that story, right?
No.
They had Jerry Rice, who was the heart. Jerry Rice, who was the toughest people, a person to defend you, and he said it was Deion. And that year, he was on the scene.
You can't beat him. You join him, or if you just beat him, you want your job to be easier.
Right.
All right, guys. Well, this was great. Great podcast.
Absolutely.
Great meeting.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. So what we're gonna do this week? We're gonna watch the rest of this horse contest if we can get through it.
Hey, it comes on Thursday. I set my DVR for the finals. And look, I'm picking Mike Conley. That's who I'm picking.
All right. Maybe what we'll do is we'll have Money Mike live Instagramming while he's watching it. Maybe you guys can tune in on Instagram and we'll see Money Mike's enthusiasm for the horse contest.
Look, I'm going to tell you guys.
Pat and I kind of sit here and go, listening. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, the fans that's listening, this is the reason why you want to watch this ESPN horse is because
there's nothing else on.
Well, that's the first reason. But the second reason is it's completely relatable. I can imagine my daughter, you know, holding up my cell phone, watching me try to make a shot in my backyard. That's what's happening. But this is on ESPN, sponsored by State Farm.
Dude, I mean, it's wild, man.
That's funny. What's amazing because, about it.
You know, it's funny. It's like the cameras look like my camera right now.
Absolutely.
Like, wait, my all grainy and cloudy right now. Like I'm.
We don't look so bad anymore. We're like, yeah, dude, we're as good as NBA players.
I mean, it's the best. It really is like the best reality show there is. Because they're literally looking into the camera to watch what the other guy's going to do, so that way they can go and do it, and then they go away. Like they making sure the cameras are set up so they can do their move. These are like TikTok videos. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm surprised the NBA didn't send somebody with a camera out there to each home, just like one camera.
No. They literally log into Zoom.
Social distancing. They probably sent like tablets or something, but that was about it. Or maybe what they did was they said, do you want to take part and do you have this gear in order to do it? And someone to hold the camera.
I mean, you know what? Literally, because if you notice with the other camera, you see like a little umbrella and a chair. Like the iPad is on the umbrella. I mean, it's on the chair in position. You know, it's not for they're getting extension cords. They probably had to go down to Home Depot or Lowe's to go even get
what it. You know what it felt like?
It
felt like an episode of Cribs, and then they turned off the green screen. And all of a sudden, you see the real stuff behind it, and it's not quite as good, and everything's like, here's the corners, and you're like, okay, let's go back to work. And he's, you know, it was kind of rough. Like Cribs without the green screen. It was great. All right. Yeah. We'll definitely look forward to that. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining the podcast.
One more thing.
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
There's a new
episode
of Tiger King today. We're going to talk about it next week, guys.
We will talk about Tiger. I think it's called Tiger King and I.
I'm not sure what it is. But there's one more episode. We got to do another recap.
All right. We'll do that.
I got you. I'm gonna watch it.
More homework. More Tiger. I thought I was done, too.
No, it's only one more episode, though. It's only one more episode.
All right.
Okay. I'll do it for you, Mike.
Hey. So. Just a reminder to everybody, the WNBA draft is on Friday. You know, it's virtual. You know, so I think that should be kind of interesting. And I think they're going to do a tribute to Gigi. You know, so it'll be a kind of cool thing for you guys to tune in on that. I think it's on ESPN. Okay. And there we have it.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Stat Pat. Thank you, Money Mike. Thank you, everybody who joined us. We'll see you next week. Watch what we're watching. Have fun, Tiger King and I, it's called. All right, we'll report back with that, and we'll go from there. All right, everybody. Have a great night. Lakers for life.
All right, Lakers. Base.
Too funny.
Thank you for listening to the Profanity Nation podcast. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at the Profanity Nation to keep up on LA sports and breaking news.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.